Good morning. We can do better. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this is the day the Lord has made. We choose to rejoice in it. We know God has us here for a purpose. He wants us to continue to be encouraged in these difficult times. We know indeed, we are in difficult times when you hear many nations, there is no nation now which is not reeling from this pandemic we call COVID. But there are other difficulties in life. There are family difficulties. At all times, there is someone who is going through difficult times. And this morning, I want to encourage us that, you know, God is able. There is a formula. Which more and more when you read the Bible, you see the formula of, the people of old, the way they used their scripture, their understanding of who their God is. And that's how they approached, their God. Today's story from 2 Chronicles 21 to 30, very long reading. But basically, it's a story, it's an example of a godly king. Jehoshaphat teaches us the principles of believing on God and seeing him work in difficult times. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you. We give you glory for your loving kindness. We thank you for your mercies, which are new every morning. Pray this morning that God, you captivate our thinking, our hearts, that God, we may learn things from this story, that God, we see you at work at all times. We thank you, we give you glory, and now bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This story of King Jehoshaphat, one of the Old Testament kings of Judah, there's different sets of circumstances we have seen as we have read this story, that the approach of an invading army of overwhelming proportions. There are times when we find ourselves in difficulties because of sin. There are times when we find ourselves in difficulties not because of our sin, but because of somebody's sin. But there are times when we find ourselves in difficulties because God is testing us. So we see the story here, Jehoshaphat, who cried out to God for help with these words. We need to memorize these words when things happen to us. Oh, our God, in 2 Chronicles 20:12, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now, before he came to pray that prayer, there are things which he said before he concluded to say, oh, our God, will you not judge them? This is a great prayer. It expresses the attitude of a man who had a firm sense of reality. You know, those who are born again, when we come to times of difficulties, we pray, oh God, will you help us? Let me give just a little bit of history to King Jehoshaphat. A few generations before Jehoshaphat was born, all the 12 tribes of Israel had constituted one great nation. But King Solomon failed. He sinned. And we see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel, divided. You know, two tribes go south, and there's 10 tribes. And in Judah, there was a reign of his son Rehoboam, the southern kingdom. Judah was passed on to Rehoboam's son Abijah, then to Abijah's son Asa, and then to Asa's son, Jehoshaphat. Over the course of its history, Judah had some kings who were good and godly, and others who were wicked and faithless. And when you look at Africa, you know, sometimes you are thinking, is there a good king in this nation? How about this nation? You know, think about it. You know, when we got all our independence, looking forward to freedom, you know, alas, you know, there are times when you have a good king and when you have bad kings. And Israel had a share of, you know, having bad kings, but Asa was a godly king. And his son Jehoshaphat followed his father's footsteps. There was something that happened to King Asa that I suspect his son Jehoshaphat never forgot. You know, this is the power of parents passing on godly values, and not only God values, you know, the way they live, the way they conduct themselves, so that their children can see. If parents are quarreling all the time, you think the son is not learning something? If the man is abusing the wife, you think the son is not, you know, learning something? We, you know, they live in us. We end up doing the same things which they did. But King Asa was a godly king. He instituted reforms in Israel. You know, in other words, God had granted peace to the land, and so he ordered that the fortified cities of Judah be built up, you know, removing all the goddesses. Everything which has nothing to do with God, he ordered all those things to be removed. And, you know, he said, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 14. He also built up the army, and the land saw great prosperity under his rule. But then the king of the Ethiopian nation came out against Judah with an overwhelming great army, 1 million marching soldiers. Asa's army was greatly outnumbered, and so Asa cried out to God with a great cry of faith. And he said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. As Jehoshaphat grew up with a great heritage of faith, no doubt his royal father repeatedly told him that story of God at work in trying times. So we see him, Jehoshaphat was by no means a perfect man, but nevertheless, he was a king with a strong passion to carry on the reforms that had been begun by his good father Asa. And so Jehoshaphat had become king and had reigned for many years over Judah. His reign was very prosperous and blessed one. But then one day, tough times struck. The Bible tells us, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with then some of the Maonites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Now, the history tells us the Moabites and the, you know, Ammonites, you know, were, you know, Lot's children, incestuous relationship, and these are the ones who were born from Lot's, daughters. So they were enemies. And when you talk of Mount Si or the Edomites, these were, you know, they originate from Esau, you know, the sons of Isaac. So Lot is a nephew to Abraham. You know, Lot's father was Haran, so they were brothers, and Lot was a nephew. It's a family problem. It started a long time ago, and they gave Israel difficult times, but they were all families. So two people groups who were constant trouble to the people of Israel had risen up against King Jehoshaphat. They wanted to make sure that, you know, Israel does not exist. Aligned with Moabite and Ammon against Judah was the people of Mount Seir. That is the Edomites, another people group with a long history of troubling Israel. This was a dreadful situation. One day's distance was not enough time to rally up the troops. He just overheard. That's why Jehoshaphat had cried out to them, "For we are powerless against this great group that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Unless God acted on their behalf, they were doomed. But there are so many principles we learn from this story. It's a story for us today. It's a story we can learn these principles so that we apply them in our lives. The first principle: nurturing trust in God before the testing times come. Very important. You know, if you don't have a strong relationship with God, when trying times come, you don't know how to cry out to him. And we'll learn from Jehoshaphat. If you look at verse 1, you will see that it tells you when this trying situation struck Jehoshaphat, it happened after this. What is the this that all this happened after? The this involved two very important things. First, it involved Jehoshaphat learning a difficult lesson about the need to break away or to break his own alliances with ungodly kings. He had made a very unwise and destructive alliance with ungodly king of the northern kingdom of Israel, King Ahab. He had agreed to aid Ahab in his battle against one of Ahab's enemies, and it proved to be a horrible disaster. Ahab was killed. Jehoshaphat barely escaped with his own life. And the prophet of God sternly rebuked Jehoshaphat for this foolish choice, saying in 2 Chronicles 19:2-3, saying, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." Though he never made a complete break from his sinful tendency, it does seem that Jehoshaphat exercised great caution regarding his associations and alliances. That is the first point. The second thing that this involved was Jehoshaphat's actual spiritual reforms in Israel. We read in 2 Chronicles 19, it elaborates the reforms which he had put forward before Israel. And so by the time this particular crisis hit, Jehoshaphat was well along in getting his spiritual house in order. He was breaking off alliances with ungodly and sinful rulers, and he was making great progress in advancing the spiritual reforms of his people. He was already growing wonderfully as a remarkably godly king. Now, try to imagine what would have happened if he had tried to get his spiritual house in order, if his life was a sinful life. Jesus told a parable that has something to say about this. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, The floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Matthew 7, 27 to 24 to 27. Difficult times will come to us. The rains will come to us. It's inevitable. The flood waters are going to rise. Difficult times will strike in our lives. And when they do, that's not the time to scramble around and get your spiritual house in order. Trying to quote scriptures which you have never memorized. That time to prepare is now, before the disaster strikes. Now is the time to break from sinful habits and practices. Now is the time to build the habit of daily Bible reading. Now is the time to build the character of praying. Now is the time to deepen our relationship with each other. Now is the time to develop deep communion with the Heavenly Father through regular private prayer. The time to nurture a pattern of faithfulness and trust in God is now, so that when the difficult times come, you'll be found ready. So we nurture our trust in God. We nurture our relationship with Him. The second principle is that as soon as the difficult times come, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The Bible tells us this great man of God was afraid when he heard what was coming. No one could blame him for that. But notice that even in his fear, as it says in verse 3, Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. The NIV translates this by saying that he resolved to inquire of the Lord. The first thing he did when the greatest crisis of his life came upon him was to make it his own commitment to turn immediately to God. Not as a last resort, but as the very first choice. He proclaimed a national fast and called the people to assemble to ask help from God, even the women and children. And Jehoshaphat led them in prayer. Notice very carefully what he prayed, because it shows us how to set our hearts as we seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood, verses 5 to 13, stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, review the words of Joshua's prayer. You will find that there is a very specific order to how he sought God at this time of crisis. First, Jehoshaphat began by remembering who God is. He prayed, "Oh Lord God, our Father, of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand is there not power and mighty, so that no one is able to withstand you? When trying times strike us, how few of us think of stopping to remember who God is and what he is like. His transcendency over the things of the earth, his absolute sovereignty over the nations, the limitlessness of his own power." But this is the first part of seeking God in a time of testing. When we find ourselves in difficult times, this is what we need to do, to remember who God is to us. Not straight away to shoot to the problem, but to remember who God is. Second, Jehoshaphat recalls the promises God has made. Now, if you don't study scripture, there's no way you are going to recall promises of God in your life. His nation, the nation God raised up and placed in the land in which they now dwelt, was being threatened. And so he prayed to this great God, whose mighty attributes he just remembered, and said, "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever?" In other words, Jehoshaphat remembered the promise the Almighty God made to his friend Abraham concerning offspring. A promise that was certainly not now about to be revoked by a foreign nation. He remembered the promise. He remembered his God. He remembered the promise. Third, after remembering who God is and recalling his promises to Israel, Jehoshaphat sets himself to seek God by reviewing the situation before this great God. You know, sometimes when we are reviewing our situation, we think, you know, God doesn't know what's going on. But when you remember who he is, his power, that there's nothing what I'm going through which he doesn't know. And then when you remember his promises, then you come to a place where, you know, you review your situation. And this is what, you know, Jehoshaphat said, and now hear the people of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to overthrow us of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. When hit with a tough situation, Jehoshaphat doesn't begin by running into the presence of God and complaining to him as the very first thing, because that certainly wouldn't be a way to seek God. Nor does he dishonor God by speaking as if God didn't, you know, already know the facts. Instead, Jehoshaphat calmly and confidently presents the situation as it is to this Almighty God, whose attributes he remembered and whose promises he recalled, more to affirm the situation before God than to offer new information to him. When tough times hit, we remember the situation. Finally, Jehoshaphat ends by requesting God to act on behalf of himself and his people. He says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He doesn't tell God what to do, but simply asks God to act. The request for help comes. You know, this is like, you know, if you are a student and, you know, the parents are about to pay fees, I don't just go to them and say, by the way, this is Sunday, tomorrow the fees are due. And they look at you and say, why didn't you remind us a long time ago? A good student, 1-2 months before, you praise your parents. Hallelujah. You have been good to me, parents. I've eaten. You clothe me. You do all kinds of things for me. You are so good. You know, 1 month before, I'm so grateful to have parents like you who are so mindful of your children. I mean, what a joy to live under your roof, parents. When time comes, you go, oh, by the way, in 3 weeks' time, there is this what we call tuition fees at school. I don't know, I know you remember, but I just wanted, as a good parent, I just wanted to make sure that that's the way you are thinking. Hallelujah. And a good parent, you know, goes, yeah, 3 weeks from now, I'll be paid. Oh, yeah. You know, I can see my son, my daughter all along. But we want to come to God with just a complaint and say, COVID, you know, look what has happened. I don't have a job. We complain. Oh, PF, oh, look at what they are doing. We complain. The pattern is we go to God. God, you know who he is. You are immanent. In other words, you are involved in our lives. Because we are involved in our lives, you are involved in our nation. Nothing will surprise you, oh God. You are so righteous, you are sovereign. Overall, we thank you. But you know that people, you know, jobs are ending. But you have to remember your God. And remember your God. God, it wasn't by accident that we got independence. It wasn't by accident that you put our president in place, the one we have. You promised that you give us a leader who will lead us in dignity and in truth. We come to you, Lord, we thank you for helping us. As we learn those things, you know, it doesn't come quickly. You know, it comes like, the Bemba says, ati iziti ameno ya mukano ata tafimwa itaesa wangu. It takes time, you know, the kid will cry and, you know, the parents who know, they will say, teeth is coming out, so don't worry. In 2 months' time, they'll stop crying. Why? They are going through tough times, but yet you know that you have a God who cares. I believe the specific order of events in this prayer shows us how God wants us to seek him when a trying times hits us. We remember him. We remember who our God is. Is it not the same thing? The Apostle Peter and John were brought before the leaders in Jerusalem and were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus any further in Acts chapter 4. But Peter and John reported all this to the church. It was a distressing time in that the authorities had threatened them and commanded them to cease preaching in the name of Jesus. But notice how the church prayed in Acts, chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. In other words, remembering who God is. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vains? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Here, quoting about God's promises concerning Jesus in Psalm 2. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and purpose determined before to be done. Here, affirming how God's own word was fulfilled before their eyes, and thus recalling the promises of God had made his word. Now, Lord, look on their hearts, on their threats, reviewing the situation before God. And grant your servants with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus, thus requesting God to act on their behalf. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They knew their God, they knew the promises of God, and they reviewed the situation, and they came to him to ask God to act on their behalf. And what did God do? The Holy Spirit came upon them. They had power to preach the word of God with boldness. God very clearly heard the prayer of his king. The Bible goes on to tell us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jero, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them there at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerusalem. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the God, the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. The Pentecostal way, loud and high. This is Old Testament, by the way. They knew their God. They praised him. The third point is that when difficult times come, we should rejoice in God through worship. You know, sometimes we throw worship out of the window, you know, when we have difficulties. I wonder how many of us would respond to the threat of an impending army by quickly forming a worship team. But that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. Assembled the worship team and start praising the Lord. It's not the way churches do it. It's not the way the world does it. This is God's way. Where calamity hits, you know, when we hear people are dying at Ndola Baptist, that one died, this one died. What has befallen Ndola Baptist Church? Form a worship team. Come here and praise the Lord. You see God at work and he will reveal to you. And by the way, he will tell you, no one goes out of this earth without my knowledge. And without my sanctioning. They are not in our hands. They are in God's hands. When difficult times come, we should rejoice in God through worship. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, they appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Bamovafire appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of his holiness, not Ichireya, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." They knew their God. There was nothing that Jehoshaphat or the people of Judah themselves could do about the approaching army, but they praised the Lord anyway. And look what happened. Now when they began to sing and to praise, who did that? The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Simple. Rule, these two tribes, nations, they went after the Edomites, killed them, slaughtered, and they turned on themselves again. They killed each other without Israel, without Judah touching them. All about the Lord. And when they came, they looked into that valley, they go, "They are all dead." The Lord did it. And good soldiers, they went on and took all kinds of things. You know, I was wondering when I was reading this story, who goes to the war? They have God, they have things, you know, they have all these other things, and they go to war. They think they would die with those things and take them? Judah. They took all the spoil. It took them how many days, the scripture says? 3 days. Mark container after container. 3 days to amass the spoil. Who did that? The Lord. All they did was to worship God, to sing to the Lord, because they believed in this God who is almighty. I mean, with that pattern, things will change. In my own life, You know, I remember when I am down, once I put on the worship songs and I start singing, I read the word of God, I sing, I hear the songs, my heart melts. In other words, the problem becomes so smaller. My God becomes bigger. That's the one we need to worship. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and it was God had done it all. The last one, give thanks to God when the tough times are over. We are very good at saying, you know, I don't have this, you know, can you lend me this, or can I have this? And once we get it, we don't appreciate, we don't go back to God. I like the tradition in America of stopping once in a year and call it Thanksgiving. I know it's secularized, but boy, what a good thing to stop even in December to sit down and say, Mueles, I am so grateful for this year. I was thinking I'll never pull through my exams, even my food, my rentals, you know, whatever I was doing, I was thinking I'll never pull through, but I have pulled through because of your name. I thank you. I thank you. And that's the principle we learn from, you know, this story. It closes with these words, and on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the valley of Beraka until this day. They blessed the Lord. They gave thanks to him for what he has done. The people of God did not have to lift a single weapon in battle because the Lord himself had said, for the battle is not yours but God's. As we go through difficulties in our lives, let's be reminded that the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. Jehovah El Shaddai, the Almighty One, is fighting on our behalf. Before men, Jehoshaphat was a great king, but before God, he was an utterly helpless and dependent man. From that standpoint, his situation was the same as ours. We too are utterly helpless before the desperate times of life. You think of what's going on today, the COVID situation. We're helpless, and we need to admit our hospitals are very few. How many ventilators do we have? Oxygen. How many do we have? As the pandemic grows, let's go back to God and say, Lord, you are the one who can remove this. Is it a test? We don't know. But one thing we know, nothing happens to us without God allowing it. So we go to him, the one who knows, who understands the situation. You have difficult times in your life, go to God. He is able. Worship him. We too are utterly helpless before these difficult times and are completely dependent on, you know, on God's help. Because he's the only one who can help us. Our prayer should be the same as Jehoshaphat's. We have no power, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. The hymn writer says, I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me. Or weary days or golden days. Before his face I see, but I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Or better still, as Jehoshaphat would say, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Do this and you see God at work in difficult times. We have a God who cares. He's with us. We pray for Mother Zambia. We pray for the world as we go through difficult times. We know God is with us. The battle belongs to Him. Whatever situation you are in, the battle belongs to Him. Don't panic. Don't complain. Don't think that no one understands you. In fact, we don't understand each other. Only God understands us. And that's the one we need to go to. He's a God who cares. He's with us. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you glory for your loving kindness. We thank you that you are our God. You care, you lead, you anoint us to do the things we are doing. Without you, nothing can be done. But we know the battle belongs to you. We believe you and we put our trust in you. Help us to nurture this relationship with you. Help us to remember the promises you know you have promised for us. Help us, Lord, to seek you when calamity or difficulties come upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to worship you, to give thanks to you because you are our God. Be with us and continue ministering to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.